This is
Genatze Tayer,
a toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. A comprehensive look at the Armenian culture, only on the Ignotainment Media Network.
Genatze Tayer, Parluis Inchpesek. Hey, what a great show we had last week. We had Yaron Weiss. What a great response we had from y'all out there as well. The downloads on our iTunes went crazy. That really shows how much you guys like our show. Thank you very much. We can't tell you how much we appreciate it. And we got a great show today, too. We got another traveler. We got another traveler who's in Armenia right now. His name is Russell Pollard. And he's an Englishman, and I've been on his site before. It's called artsakh.org.com, but it's on Facebook. It's called artsakh.org. So you guys got to check it out. I was on there when we had 200-300 people. Now it's grown up to 6,000, and it's a great site, and Russell does a lot of work for Armenia and a lot of work for Artsakh. I mean, he's captivated by just the same with Yaron. I mean, he loves that area. And Russell Pollard, it is so good to have you on our show, my man.
Yeah, no problem. Nice to speak to you, John.
Russell, when and how were you drawn into caring and loving about a country thousands of miles away from England, my man? I mean, I find that really cool. Tell us about that.
Well, it was really by accident as much as anything. I was traveling around East Europe and then into a lot of the ex-Soviet republics. And I'd been to Belarus and Ukraine and Georgia. And I'd noticed on the flights going to Georgia that we were stopping in Yerevan temporarily. And I really didn't know anything about Yerevan. In fact, I didn't even know where it was. So, for my next trip, it would just seem appropriate for me to then go to Armenia and see what that was all about and to educate myself. And the plan would have been that I would have then, perhaps a year after, gone to Azerbaijan, because that was just the next country along. So it was almost as arbitrary as that, really. And then in that trip, which was just over 5 years ago, I had the opportunity to go to the Genocide Memorial Museum, also Yerevan Cemetery, because it was Independence Day, so I was witnessing a lot of the veterans there from the Nagorno-Karabakh War. And also, the weather was kind to me, so I saw Mount Ararat in a way that I've never actually seen since then. And really, the combination of those three aspects of that trip, which was actually relatively quite short, timed with me.
Now, you're into photography, too, right?
Yeah.
And I think you're probably drawn into just the beauty of it all, and I think that captivated you as well, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, for Ararat, then I took hundreds of photos because I thought I was not going to come back, so I wanted to do that. And also, for those other places I mentioned, then I was trying to capture what I was witnessing. And that's really what I was trying to do. And in that particular trip, I was just staying in Yerevan. So it was a bit of a photographic thing. It wasn't in any way journalistic. I wasn't planning to write anything.
Wow.
That all really came out later.
Wow. Wow. It's amazing how everything works out like that. Now, you're in Yerevan right now, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to be there for the April 24th remembrance of the genocide.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, so I'll be here till the 24th, and then the day after, my plan is to go to Stepanakert for several weeks.
Okay. Now, I got to tell the folks out there, when it doesn't stop when Russell goes back to England, then the trip's over, because this guy... Folks, this guy has got some strong convictions towards Artsakh and the Armenian people and the Armenian genocide. I mean, when he gets back to England, it's not over, in the sense that he still He still writes about it. He still posts on his website that where he's going to be giving a lecture or giving a some sort of a you know, just tell folks about what's going on in the Artsakh region, about the Armenians in Armenia, about the Armenian genocide. You know, that's really big, man. And that, actually, a couple times you've even heard me comment Palordian, because you're so much like us. It's unbelievable that I would even say you're much more sometimes than what we do. And you know, you do everything that is out there and more for us. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So what I wanted to try and do with the work I was doing is to create like a website and a body of work on the internet that people who are looking for information on Armenian and Artsakh in particular were able to find both photography, photographs, and writing that was done by somebody who wasn't either Armenian or Azerbaijani, and so it would give a sort of neutral perspective. And as much as I can, then I've tried to take the opportunity to people like you say in the UK to present my perspective on what I've seen.
Let me jump in here right now. When you're in England, do you encounter Azerbaijanis that are against the whole thing, and they're like, "Why are you doing this?" and so forth? Do you ever run into that situation?
No, I haven't actually. The only time I tried to put myself in that situation was a few years ago when there was a march in February for Kajali, you know, by Azerbaijanis in London. And so I went down to try and engage with them in some way or other, but which I did. What was very clear was that they had a very artificially manufactured view of the situation.
Was it a hostile environment right there? I mean, were they didn't want to talk about it, or?
Yeah. No, what they were doing is they were actually demonstrating through the streets of London to promote their view of Kajali, you know, during the Karabakh War. And so I approached them without declaring my knowledge and interest in the subject in order to query with them what they knew and what they thought they were demonstrating about. And what was really quite clear was that they didn't actually know what the whole subject was. They were very ill-informed.
So they're just going, they're just walking around marching, and they don't even have the information on it.
That's right. I mean, essentially, it was probably about 1,500 student-aged people who clearly had been told to go out for a march and carry a few banners.
Jeez.
They couldn't withstand any semblance of a conversation about it. They didn't know what years they were talking about, or essentially, really, what happened. So. But that's probably to be expected in reality on that type of subject.
You know, Russell, earlier, before the introduction here, I was telling the folks about, I've seen your site grow on Facebook from like 300-400. Now it's up to 6,000 people. And I tell you what, man, you get some great information on there that... I got to tell you, sometimes I steal it. I share a lot of your stuff because it's great stuff. And I love your site, man. People got to get on Russell's Artsakh.org. What is that? The top of my head here. Is it? It's called Artsakh.org UK on Facebook.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Yeah.
I tell you, you do a great job with it, and it's very informative. Have you run across... Yaron, last week I interviewed him, and he's made trips to Artsakh before in Armenia, and I was just wondering if you guys have ever met each other.
No, I haven't. I mean, I know of Yaron, and seen photographs and the work that he does, but I haven't had the chance to meet him or really talk to him at all. So.
I mean, he's like you with a strong conviction, and he mentions how beautiful Artsakh is, and I'm sure you see the same. I've seen and heard people mention the presence of the Azeris there. Have you, is that ever on the back of your mind that something could happen if I'm here, when I'm here, and so forth? Has that ever went through your head?
No, it's a real contradiction, I would say, is that when you're in Stepanica, then it's probably about the safest place you've ever visited. I mean,
really?
For you and for me, you know, you're very familiar with lots of violence in the streets and menace almost. But people will walk around Stepanica late at night without any concern whatsoever.
Really? It's really, really peaceful, huh?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I would walk around with my camera hanging out, you know, on my shoulder without any concern whatsoever for my safety.
That is so beautiful.
And I would say that, yeah, and I would say that for any town within Artsakh.
And, you know,
unless you're on
the Western Armenian, they kind of look at Artsakh and Stepanakert as the capital of Artsakh. I mean, as a quiet, humble people that, can you give us another perspective? I mean, what makes these guys, what makes Artsakh such a strong conviction on just a love for each other? And, I mean, just that whole notion that, you know what, we love you guys in the West, but this is our place and we're not going to bow down to anyone here. This is our little country. I mean, what do you make of it? I mean, what kind of are these people that optimistic about everything in life over there?
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting. I mean, they do have a characteristic that even Armenians describe them as being very stubborn people, and I would say that in a very positive way.
Right, right.
They see their land as being something that is really, really quite special. You know, they've lived there for centuries, if not millennia. I don't know. But because of the war that took place, and what was most profound to me from talking to various people is how ordinary people just took up arms and defended themselves. And I think that's one of the defining things about that war than most wars that we experience these days, and that is it's all about defence. It's about defending your family, and because in Artsakh the family unit is such a major part of the culture.
Right.
That's
right.
Not to say it's not important in any other country, but I mean, if I compare it to England, I would say it's massive. You know, there's a real bond of family members that's extremely strong, and I would say quite rare, perhaps in modern times.
Yeah.
And because people defending their family, and for that matter, then their sort of co-villagers, it creates this atmosphere of
bondness, yeah, of people being really tight with one another, yeah. Yeah, you know, you're so right about that, because you see the West... you see the West as when you become 18, you know what, go get yourself a job and you could move out of the house as well. But I guess in that type of culture, these people still stay together. They're still together in every aspect. Is that what you're saying right there?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
Typically... when the son gets married, then his wife will move in with the family home, into the family home.
What's the restrictions there on if you become, is it 18, you have to join the military in Artsakh?
That's right. You go to the front line for a couple of years. So every male will do their 2 years of service on the front line. Which obviously reinforces the whole togetherness and the fact that it's our boys, as we would say, you know, our boys on the front line defending us.
And
it becomes almost one big family affair.
You did mention earlier, maybe about 5 minutes ago, about how safe it is in Stepanakert and so forth. But is there still a presence out there that if you go to this area or if you... drive 20 miles this way or something like that, And now you're getting close to the Azeri borders and so forth. I mean, is that presence there too?
I wouldn't say there was any explicit restriction. I mean, the one city that is a fascination for casual tourists is Agdam, which is an old Azeri city of about 40,000 people. Now it's essentially non-existent, and people who visit for a couple of days always want to go to Agdam. And the authorities prefer you don't go there, mainly because of safety, because of snipers. And for that matter, there is a minefield there as well. But in reality, if you stick to the road, you've got no problems at all. I mean, genuinely got no problems. And you just take recognition of where there are uncleared minefields. So if you're following good practice from the tourist agency, if you're going as a tourist, you know, follow the rules, you'll never have a problem. You'll never feel...
Just stick on the roads. Yeah. Just stay on stay on the map that our Artsakh people have laid out, and we're in great shape.
Absolutely. And, no problem whatsoever.
Okay. So we got April 24th coming. What do you expect in Armenia? What do you expect? What do you expect in the world's realm right now? Everything's changing. It seems like it's getting positive with the Pope, with the Kardashians. I mean, who would have thought those two are the ambassadors to our passage here in a way, you know? But they're making a lot of noise. The Pope is now. I've seen your site again, and Germany just acknowledged. Do you think there's going to be a lot of things happening within the next couple of days?
Well, it feels that way. I mean, I read this morning that Austria had recognized the Armenian genocide. And it feels a bit like a Berlin Wall moment. That, you know, once somebody's chip started chipping away at it, like the Pope did, the European Parliament, of course, passed a resolution within the last week. And of course, with Turkey wanting to be part of the EU, then they will have to comply. Otherwise, they will not get involved. So it wouldn't surprise me if there are other European countries formally recognizing it.
It's amazing. It's amazing, Russell, that the European Union is recognizing now. They've stood up and they've recognized the Armenian genocide, and then the UN leader turns out. Couple days ago, and says that wasn't genocide. That's beyond me, and that's just crazy. I don't know who fed him those lines.
I've not heard that. But I think it's one of these things that the more people that are prepared to use the word explicitly, the more that it will just sort of escalate. And gain treatment. I think in reality, the only person that people are waiting for is Obama. Thank you.
Now you're at Armenia right now in Yerevan. Tell us the scene around you right now. It sounds like people are having fun.
I'm in the outside the Marriott Hotel, which is the hotel that the Kardashians are staying in. And there's a whole crowd of people that are gathering outside for some celebrities. I asked the waiter who they were, and he wouldn't tell me. Whether the guys from System of a Down were staying in the Marriott, I don't know. But the roadies are in the table a few along from me, so I guess they must be. So everybody's extremely excited about the concert which is taking place on the 23rd in the evening.
That is System of a Down, right?
Yeah. Apparently the police are only going to allow 50,000 people into the public square, which is going to be massive. It's going to be unbelievable.
That's going to be beautiful.
But I think generally, I mean, I went this afternoon to an exhibition in the National Art Gallery, also on the public square, where a number of local artists have produced sculptures and paintings and so on, all around the genocide topic, and there's some extremely interesting pieces of art there, which I'll post on by the sale tomorrow.
Are you seeing right now in Armenia, are you seeing more foreign presence too? I mean, is there more people coming in from out of Armenia?
It's not evident at the moment. I still stand out like a sore thumb in the sense of I feel about the only English speaking person around. So I get stared at quite a lot. But I imagine in the next day or so,
now,
that will be the case.
You mentioned on Facebook that first day you were there, you got pulled over by security, plain dressed security folks. How was that like?
Well, it's always slightly unnerving when you're not actually expecting it. Because there are so many signs of, around the genocide and to forget them off and so on. I was just walking on the bridge because I thought I could get quite a decent picture. And then these chaps just walked up to me and started talking to me. But they didn't want me to photograph the cars and the road, I guess.
And
there was some terrorist option there.
Yeah, so security has really tightened in Yerevan right now, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, absolutely. So there are, it's not oppressive, but it's noticeable. And that's only to be right. I mean, you know, in a few days' time, there'll be a lot of world leaders around, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that will be the case.
Of course, that makes sense, too. I tell you what, Russell, if we can, I'd love to have you on Friday. If you could give us some play-by-plays of what's going on with the Yerevan and the people that you might be seeing walking and so forth, and just give our people a visual of what you're seeing, that would be great if I can call you and make this happen as well.
Yeah, not a problem.
Excellent. Folks, I tell you again, go to our site. Go to our site. Being I'm a member of his site called artsakh.org.uk. I think it's a great site, and you folks would really enjoy it. Russell gets really informative, and he's got the first one on the press to get everything. It seems like I share everything he's got. It's beautiful site. Go to Facebook. You'll love it. One last question here, though, okay? I got to run this by you. Since you're an Englishman, have you given up the scotch or the vodka now? What is it, the Armenian vodka or the scotch?
Well, the vodka I find interesting. In Karabakh, chemically it's unknown, but I always try it and feel very vibrant afterwards. I like the homemade vodka, definitely.
Oh, homemade vodka. Oh, that sounds even stronger.
Vodka, yeah.
That sounds stronger.
It's kind of rocket fuel stuff, but when you see it's been made in somebody's shed.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's called moonshine in America.
Yeah, exactly. But somehow they seem to make it accessible.
Well, thank you very much, man. It's been great talking to you, and I will definitely give you a shout probably early in the morning because we got about an 8-9 hour differential out there. So hope to talk to you soon, man, and you take care and enjoy.
Okay, John. Yeah, nice talking to you, and speak till Friday.
Okay. That's Russell Pollard, my friends. I tell you what, man, every time I talk to him, Chris, It's great. It's great knowledge and great finding out stuff about Armenia, about Artsakh, and he didn't disappoint.
Not at all. No, he was an amazing interview. Had a lot of great information.
Right. Speaking of information, you got some emails that we got from our listeners out there. That's great. Give it to us.
I just emailed the emails over to you right now, Jono.
Okay, I got a couple here that I'll bring up with you guys. First, let's go with Greg. Great job on the show, Jono. Very entertaining. Listen to it educationally. It was great stuff. Good to see Vardan, a true class act. Well, there you go. That was good.
That's the truth.
And
that's a great interview.
Then we go to Armen. Armen, you guys forgot about Araz Özbulut. And I'm telling you right now, I did not forget about him. I just think when this guy comes back, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with on that soccer team because he moved that ball really fast, and we need him right back, guys. I mean, without Araz, we don't have a strong force on that national soccer team. So, yeah, I totally agree with you on that one, Armen. And basically, guys, I've been getting emails saying you got a great show, and I appreciate it so much. And, again, listen to our show. We're trying to get a guest on every week. And you know what? This Friday is going to be really cool because we're going to have Russell on the spot in Yerevan, and he's going to give us what's going on. So that's going to be really cool. Anyway, my friends, that's our show for today. What do you got for us, Chris?
Yeah, I just wanted to remind everyone, this is an awesome show. I think everyone's enjoying it. The way to get it to grow is share it. Share it on your Facebook page. Share it in email.
Right on.
Remember to say something to a friend. All you have to do is send them the link to our website, or if you go in the iTunes store, you're able to get a link for the show, or you can send the name of the show via email. Anything. Just share the show with your friends, because that's what's going to help the show, you know, continue to grow and continue to bring you the content and, you know, the guests that we have.
This last show that we had with Yaron just took off so much, and we couldn't be any happier, any more proud to be Armenian, to see what we gave out there and you guys responded to it. Gosh, that was beautiful. And let's not let it stop, guys, because we want this podcast to grow. And it's not my show. It's not it's our show. It's the Armenian Proud, and that's just what it is.
And we're going to have emails every week. We're going to read, you know, emails from you guys. So remember to email us, info@armeniaproud.com.
And one more thing about the emails, Chris, that I want to pass along. I appreciate you guys saying that it's a great show. God, I love that. It really gives me a notion that we're doing a good job. But you know what? Add something to it by telling us what you guys want to see. If you know any Armenians out there that we should look up, and you know, that's what we're looking for. I mean, we've had a bunch of you out there send us about different type of soccer, different names on soccer players. Let's mix it up a little bit too. I'd like to hear about the wrestlers. I'd like to hear about chess player. I'd like to hear about anyone that you guys would think would be interesting enough for this show. All right, my friends, that does our episode for Armenia Proud. It's been great having you, and we will be in tune with you this coming Friday for April 24th. All right, Kisher Party.
Tune in next week for another episode of
Genatzet Hayer,
A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. You can find the show online at www.armeniaproud.com or download and subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher for Android. This is the Ignotainment Media Network. Tonight.